As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The NFL draft. Do you realize it is coming up fast and furious? And finally, we've been talking about it for months. We will know who the Giants will draft at number 3 overall. We will know who the Jets will draft at number 7 in the first round. To talk about the draft, kind of read the tea leaves, interpret the rumors, what's going on in lying season, all of that. We bring in Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post, covers the NFL. Ryan, how are you?
Good, Lori. How you doing?
I'm doing well. All right, I'm going to go right to you. Posted something on X off of my little promotional tweet earlier and said, spoiler alert, I'm less sure the Giants' decision is a formality than others. So please interpret away.
Sure. I did some good promo. Hopefully I got you a few extra listeners.
Thank you.
I just think the world thinks, and I don't necessarily disagree, I just think the world thinks that the Giants' decision is pretty cut and dry right now, and it's going to be Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, whoever the Browns don't take it to, will be the Giants pick at 3. And that's certainly possible. I would say maybe even better than 50-50 right now. But my sense from my conversations in and around the team, in and around the league, are that the Giants would really like to come away from the top 34 picks with either Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart. So I know Jalen Milroe, Tyler Shuck, everybody else you've heard, but I think the Giants would really like to come away with Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart. So then you have the Saints, who are missing Derek Carr and could be in the quarterback market at 9. The Steelers here could move up from 27. So the only way, so just play the game where, like, you get Carter or Hunter at 3, one of those guys goes to the Saints. You know, the Dart, who the Saints might like better than Sanders, goes to the Saints at 9, and the Steelers straight up to 11 for Sanders. And, well, okay, now you might not have a quarterback on your draft board if you're the Giants that you think is better than the 65th overall pick. So you're going to come out of the draft with what, a third round pick, a late day 2 pick is your quarterback of the future. That's a very hard sell. So, like, I think the only way you guarantee that you're getting Dart or Sanders is to pick Sanders 3rd overall. I think there's a very strong sentiment in the room that that's the way they should go. Whether they end up going that way or not, that's what the next 72 hours are for. But I don't think they're all going to be sitting around drinking coffee and talking about picks 34, 65, and 99 this week. I think there's still going to be quite a strong debate over whether, if we need a quarterback, is the only way to go to pick him at 3 and make sure we get him. And we're not sitting there late Thursday night being like, great, we have Hunter, but we have no quarterback that we like until the 65th overall pick.
So let's assume it's a, I'm just going to put it on it and say it's a 55% chance they go best player available and they take either Carter or Hunter. And it's a 45% chance that they say, all right, let's make sure we get one of the two quarterbacks we really like out of this draft. If there is that discussion going on, do you have any sense of who falls into which camp? Is Joe Shane in, for instance, a best player available, or and Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, in a, I really love Shador, I think we should be taking him at number three, or Brian Daboll in one of those camps? Do you have any sense of who falls into which camp?
Yes. I don't know that I want to name specific people, but I would say that I think that the coaching staff would be for best player available, and the front office might be for more. And I'm not just saying Brian Daboll. You know, there's Mike Kafka, there's Shea Tierney, there's lots of...
Sure.
There's, you know, Mike Rowe, and who's going to have the receiver, who would have Travis Hunter. There's Shane Bowen, who would have another corner or a pass rusher. And then there's the front office. And like you said, Brandon Brown, I think, was probably the guy who saw the most of Shador Sanders this fall. I think he pretty much was like living in Colorado on Saturdays. So there's people other than Joe Shane. But if I had to generally paint it with a broad brush, I'd say the coaching staff would probably favor the best player available and the front office might favor the quarterback.
The thing that I've always wondered is that about this decision for the Giants is that, I don't know, call it 3 months ago, it seemed the whole world in conventional wisdom said the Giants love Shador Sanders and that's their, you know, that's their guy. And the question initially was, do they have to trade up to get him? Would Cleveland be taking him and all those sort of things? And then we moved through this off season and the combine and the pro days and the interviews and the hype and the lying season and all of this smoke and mirrors. And it seemed that conventional wisdom had shifted. And now the thought process has been that it's most likely that, forget the Giants having to trade up, that Cleveland will go for one of what we think are two blue chip players in this draft, in Hunter or Carter, and that the Giants will probably take that other blue chip prospect and go best available as opposed to quarterback. And the question I have with all of that is, if the Giants really loved Shador Sanders 2-3 months ago, 3 months ago, what's changed? Why would conventional wisdom have shifted? What's changed if they really loved Shador Sanders and he was their guy 3 months ago?
So a couple things. You could let's put in one box all the stuff that you hear, right? All the he was cocky in his interview. I don't know if that's true. I've talked to some people who interviewed Shador Sanders who didn't think that he was anything other than what they would have expected him to be based on his public persona. So, like, there was no one was turned off by it because they knew exactly who he was. So, but you could put that stuff in a box with, oh, well, he didn't throw until a late pro day. And even his pro day, you know, there were some erratic stuff. You put all that in one box. And then there's the other box of like, well, 3 months ago, the coaches hadn't even really done any work. Like the idea that coaches do any work on quarterback, on any draft prospects before the season ends is almost like I had one coach tell me he's never heard of it. Who's been in the league for like 20 years. Like no stuff I've ever been on has looked at draft prospects, even if we were 3-14 before the end of the season. So like, whatever they thought in January was mostly the front office, the scouts, other teams telling you what they heard the Giants have. Like, the Shea Tierney didn't have an opinion. Kafka didn't have an opinion. Position coaches, coordinators. They, even at the combine, when you run into those guys, it's hard to get them to. They're like, I just started watching tape on these guys like last week. So, like, even at the combine, that's really their first exposure to the guys. So, like, even that feels late. That's, like, halfway through the process for us. That's, like, the beginning of it for the coaches. So I think when you start to see late changes to who a team likes, who a team doesn't, I think that's more head coaches and coordinators voicing their opinions in the room.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post about the draft, about the Giants and that number three overall pick. So from what you're hearing, the two quarterbacks the Giants like the most are Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart. We know they've been studying.
Well, that's assuming Cam Ward is off the board. Yeah.
Right. Assuming the Titans do what we think they're doing and they take Cam Ward, then if the Giants do actually take that best available player, the blue chipper, you know, one of those players, Hunter or Carter, what are the odds that you think the Giants will be at least trying to trade up into the first round to get, get one of their desired quarterbacks? And if they can't get Dart or Shedeur Sanders, I've got Giants fans asking me to ask you that, what about guys like Jalen Milroe or Tyler Shug or one of the others? Is there nobody else the Giants would, that from what you're hearing, the Giants deem worthy of trading up into the late first round or drafting with 34 if it's not Dart or Sanders?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the back. There's nobody else I see the Giants picking in the first round or even at 34. Now, you could trade back from 34 to 45 maybe and then take a Shuck or a Milroe, but with the second pick of the second round, I think there will be premium caliber players like, you know, a Maxwell Hairston at corner or a big guy. God knows the Giants need a big guy, like a Donovan Jackson at guard. I can't see that at 34 or trading up for somebody like Shuck or Milroe in the first round. Now, look, I would have never thought Milroe would be invited to Green Bay for the draft. So maybe the Giants are the team telling the NFL that he's a first-round pick. I don't know that, but it would very much surprise me. So I'll start with the back end of your question. The front end of your question is yes. If they took Carter or Hunter, I would say that they would be working the phones very hard to trade up. It reminds me a little bit, and I know it's quarterback versus a different position, but there was a story a couple years ago, the year the Jets had the incredible draft,
yep,
where they took Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. And they had almost taken Jermaine Johnson at 10, and when they took Garrett Wilson, they were like, oh, well, there goes our Jermaine Johnson dream. And then when he started to fall past like 15, Joe Douglas called literally every single team on the clock until he got somebody who was willing to trade back. It wouldn't surprise me if that was Joe Shane. Like, okay, we're not going to be able to give up enough to get into the top 10, but if one or both of our quarterbacks is there at 15, let's call every single team until he's either off the board or we have a deal. That would not surprise me at all. I've been on your show enough. People read me every day. I've been a big critic of Joe Shane's. The one thing I think he's done very well is read the trade market throughout his tenure. So he would be playing a lot of poker here with if he doesn't get a quarterback and he's trying to trade up from 34 constantly. But I feel like he's got a pretty good read on the NFL trade market.
Looking at this draft and looking at the Giants' both need as well as the value of this draft, what would be an ideal first three rounds for the New York Giants? We know they have two picks in the third round. So whether that's coming away with four players or, you know, some sort of a trade, by the end of the first three rounds, if the Giants do what? It would be, you know, what type of draft, what type of positions, what type of players, what would be ideal for them as a strategy?
Well, to me, I would say the ideal scenario would be to get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter at three, and then Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders at, let's say, 20, right in front of the Steelers at 21. Mm-hmm. In that case, you probably don't have the 65th overall pick because you just traded up. So then at 99, I'll give them a big guy on either side of the ball. Let's say J.J. Pegase, the defensive mm-hmm. tackle at Ole Miss, or Omar Norman Lott, or, you know, some guard, the Rutledge kid from Georgia.
A big guy
on either side of the ball. That would be my ideal situation. If you're not trading up, then I guess you're telling, Hunter Carter, 3, 34, corner or a big guy, and 65, a big guy on the other side of the ball, and then 99, maybe a fast receiver since Jalin Hyatt hasn't worked out. You may be somebody who could give you something similar or better to like a Wandale Robinson, like a Jalen Lane, who I wrote about, who would also give you something as a returner on special teams, maybe that. But again, I think I'm not ruling out Shedeur Sanders at three, and then that throws off, you know, that throws off everything. You got Shedeur Sanders at three, then you got, you know, 34, you better get a really good impact player because you gave up on Hunter and Carter.
What are some names of some impact players at 34? By the way, a guy who I was sort of thinking, like, maybe, yeah, if they take Shedeur at three, do they trade back into a late first round for like a Walter Nolan? But it seems like his draft stock, you know, after some off-field questions, it seems like Walter Nolan's, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, it seems like his draft stock has been flying up.
Yes, it has. I mentioned the name Malik Harrison before. One AFC team told me he was the most impressive defensive prospect they met with in the entire draft. So he would be the kind of guy the Giants like, a clean character kind of guy. He was the fastest kid at the combine, a 4.28 40, plays corner. The Giants have good read on Kentucky guys. They drafted Wandale there, and Drew Phillips was a hit for them last year. So I think they'd be very comfortable going back to the connections they have with that Kentucky staff. Defensive tackle, I think you have. I don't know if Walter Nolan would be their kind of guy, but same range for Derek Harmon is mm-hmm. in that late first round. And Kenneth Grant at Michigan is in that late first round. Those aren't edge pass rushers like Abdul Carter, but they would be starters next to Dexter Lawrence immediately. And same kind of thing. Look, Lord, what do we say about the Giants? Like, what are they good at? Like, what's their strength? Like, even bad teams, you know, like, this team can do this well. Like, right. You know, like, the Jets were bad last year, but it's like, okay, well, they, you know, they had Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed, so, like, they could take away the pass. Like, what do the Giants do well? And whether it's you're adding Kenneth Grant, you're adding Abdul Carter, if you had another legitimate, you know, first-round talent, you know, possible Pro Bowl player to the front seven, it's like, okay, this is what the Giants do well. They have a good front seven. And what was missing from that front seven last year wasn't necessarily the pass rush. It was the run defense. So I think you're on to something at 34 with defensive tackle.
Yeah, and I think I 100% I think that You're right. What is the Giants' identity other than the last few years? Unfortunately, if I ask that question, it's answers that have to do with them being kind of a joke and a punchline. And if we're asking the Giants' identity, I think Giants fans, if the answer was that they took an impact player for the defensive line and now they were able to, you know, we could answer that question and say pass rush, or to your point, if it is one of those impactful defensive tackles that both helps stop the run as well as allows them to pressure the pass, I think Giants fans could get comfortable with that. Like, that's something, that's the beginning to build an identity that Giants fans could get comfortable with. One player you mentioned, just the fun factor. If they draft a Pegaze, I admit selfishly, like, I would totally love for one of the New York teams to draft that dude so I get to watch him every Sunday.
He's the other two-way player in the draft.
People who haven't watched, he's a defensive tackle, but who also is a running back and can legitimately, you can hand him the ball and he really can like, that would be fun to watch him as an H-back / defensive tackle. Would be very fun.
And then we threw out some defensive line. You could easily at 34, especially if you're taking a quarterback at 3, fix your right guard problem.
Yes.
Gray Zabel from North Dakota State.
Yep.
Like I said, Donovan Jackson is in that range. Josh Connerly from Oregon's in their range. So, like, the other thing they could do is get a right guard. And, like, they're Giants fans. And I think I'm one of these people, not a fan, but one of these people. I'm in this camp of, like, I would kind of moan because, like, their hit rate on offensive linemen is so low that I'm like, oh, God, another offensive lineman? Like, these guys never work out. But, like, if you hit on that, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we have some young pieces on the offensive line. The problem is, like, from Will Hernandez to Josh Azudu to John Michael Schmitz to Evan Neal, like, the Giants offensive linemen rarely work out. Maybe this is a spot where the great Chris Snee, now a scout for the Giants, flexes some of his muscle and can actually get the Giants an offensive lineman who they can develop.
It's either Chris Snee's influence or the old blind squirrel theory. Every once in a while, the blind squirrel catches a nut. I get it, but just because you've been bad at it, it's such an important position, interior offensive line, and clearly the Giants have a need there. So, yeah, to me, depending on what they do, but somewhere within those first four picks, you would like to think an interior offensive lineman, a defensive, it's such a strong defensive tackle draft, a quarterback, like, somewhere in there should be something like that. All right, let's turn to the Jets. And so, sitting there, what would be, if the way this draft, you know, some of the things we expect both of these blue chippers to be gone by the time the Jets are on the clock, so we're not going to say that, but what would be ideal, do you think, for the Jets at 7?
Ideal would be Will Campbell. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be gone to the Patriots at 4 if the Giants and Browns take Hunter and Carter.
Yep.
I think Will Campbell would be the Patriots, fallback third choice, so to speak. Some people think they'll take Ashton Jeanty. That would be great for the Jets because Will Campbell might be there. If not, then they'll have a choice between Armon Membu, who most people think is the next best offensive lineman, who could be their right tackle. And then all of a sudden you have two young bookend tackles in Membu and Fashanu, who, yeah, that could be your next Brickison. And, I know Mangold was a center, but that could be your next 10-year tandem. Or Tyler Warren at the game-breaking pass catcher. Just call him a tight end. I get it. He's a tight end like Brock Bowers was a tight end. He's a 100-catch guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's your number two to Garrett Wilson as a pass catcher. So they have a really interesting decision there. Almost every single person I talk to in the NFL about what the Jets have to do says the same thing. Take the tackle now, because when you're on the board at, 42? When you're on the board at 42, the offensive linemen will be depleted, and you'll have a choice of 2, maybe 3 really good tight ends at 42. Maybe Mason Taylor, if he doesn't go in the first round, some people think he will. Otherwise, you'll have either Harold Fannin, who had 1,555 receiving yards at Bowling Green last year, an NCAA record for a tight end, or Elijah Arroyo, who's, I know some teams have first-round grades on.
Out of Miami?
I don't know if most do. He had really only 1 year of production.
Right.
You could have either Fannin or Arroyo at 42. And again, you have to look at it almost pairing your two first round, your first two picks. And if you go offensive tackle tight end, I think you'll like that better than if you go tight end offensive tackle.
Any rumors or inside information on what you're hearing in terms of the Jets and Aaron Glenn, the type of player or strategy that he's looking for?
I haven't heard any inside, I haven't heard any inside information on the type of player he is, but I think Aaron Glenn is limited interaction, plus what Aaron Rodgers said about him, told you exactly who. I mean, it does not surprise me the least bit. He's going to be looking for no-nonsense, blue-collar, maximize their talent type guy. Like, I would be surprised. He's not looking for athletic freaks who have high ceilings, or he's looking for this guy's going to bust his ass in practice every single day and get the absolute most out of his talent. That's, grinder type guys that would not, who's going to be wannabe coached hard, who aren't going to have big egos. I think we know exactly the kind of guy that Aaron Glenn is going to. Somebody he can, beat down in practice and is still going to give him everything he has.
Last question. You mentioned that Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe is one of the, I think it's 16 players who are showing up for the NFL draft. And generally speaking, those are players who believe they're getting drafted in the first round. I think there's at least a very good chance that Milroe won't be drafted in the first round. But where would be, forget round, what would be the team or situation that you think would be best if you were hoping for that for Jalen Milroe? What's the best situation for him of where he should go?
I mean, it might be the Giants. Situation where he can literally sit on the bench for a full year, is not expected to play at all. Giants have, obviously, Wilson and Winston, and totally develop for a year in the NFL with a quarterback mind. Now, honestly, I don't know that Daboll and Shane will be back here, and to me, that's the worst situation you can be in, is to be drafted by a team, and then the regime changes after your first year. So, to answer, I won't say the Giants because of the uncertainty of the regime. So I'll say the Rams. If I'm a quarterback, I would love to be coached by Sean McVay. Matthew Stafford could very easily be out of there next year. Give me a year where I don't have to play for the Rams. I can learn from McVay. I can watch Stafford. I can take over for Stafford. And then I'm still going to have a super good team around me, because the Rams are never going to sink as long as Les Snead and Sean McVay are there. So I guess I would say the second round pick for the Rams would probably be Jalen Milroe's best case scenario. I'll just tell you, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, I think he's as good as anybody. He said his upside, Jalen Milroe's upside. Now there's a lot of risk. I mean, he's as risky as anybody. But his upside, as Daniel Jeremiah said, is as good as anybody in the draft, including Cam Ward. So.
All right. Well, we'll see how lucky is some team feeling in terms of the risk and the reward. Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. You should be following him in the Post and on social. Ryan, really appreciate the time. We'll be following you this week.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.